Was going to be able to be wrung out, and the glory of his presence would fill wherever we would go, wherever we were, our families, our homes, our workplaces. Isn't that what this is all about? That's what this is all about. We fill up so that we can be wrung out into the world. And that's what he wants to do tonight. He's going to do that with us. And he's been waiting for this moment. It's like he's waiting and he's so excited tonight to fill us. So you'll see that these next few songs are just empty. They're just empty. There's no words because he wants that empty place in us. So just give him that empty place where we're soaking in his presence and just watch what he'll fill you with. Just watch what he'll do. We're going to go ahead and turn these lights off, and it's going to get a little bit dark, but feel free to lay down. Feel free to get on the chairs, to walk to a corner, to just get away with him and let him do something amazing in your lives.
Every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet.
What we want to do now is, as we experienced God in that last bit, I felt like almost like the Lord would say, you need some bed rest. like sometimes in the kingdom we feel like we have to perform, and I feel like God's just had enough of it, and he's just saying, just come on and be with me rather than be about me. We spend a lot of time being about him, not being with him. And so what we'll do is we'll go back in, and if God spoke to you, you felt impressed that God was saying something in one direction or another, and keep in mind that, you know, when God speaks words of knowledge, those words of knowledge, they're going to come, and they're going to bring the body, they're going to break strongholds, and they're going to bring us into a place of deeper revelation and healing and restoration in God. You know, those words of knowledge should always take us there. So we'll go back in, and as any feel led, I'll put the microphone up here on the platform, and as you feel led, you can just kind of come up and release maybe a prophetic word or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And so we'll just go in there.
Okay, I'm going to share mine, and then maybe that'll kind of open up and give you guys an idea of what kind of we're looking for as far as like your experience with God. So when I was over there soaking, I saw this mighty rushing river, and this river was almost scary. You know, the rapids and the flowing white water, and I was having a conversation with the Father, and I said, God, I can't go in there. And I knew he was calling me to that place. It's like, I can't go in there. And he showed me this raft, and he said, this is for you, and it's called grace. And he said, and you stay in this raft, and you ride my river of living water in this raft, and you're safe there. It was like, oh, okay, I'm good. Because, see, I've been struggling with grace this morning. And this morning I yelled at one of my foster babies. And I'm just being really honest with you. I'm like, God, I'm supposed to minister to people today, right? And sometimes we wrestle with grace. And when we're not doing good, then we feel like we need to wrestle again, you know? And God's saying, just stay in the raft. I'm good. Like, I've got you. And then I just stayed there, and I just enjoyed that. And God showed me, and if you get really brave, I'll give you an inner tube. So you can have your feet in the water, and you're just holding on, and you can have your legs are in the water. And he said, that's even better. And then I looked around, and I said, but God, where is everybody? Where is everybody? And he showed me, he said, they're at the water's edge. He said, you need to tell them to come in. Come in, come in, come in. And as soon as you tell them to come in, they're going to find their grace. They're going to find their grace. And so that's just what God was doing in my own life, and just reassuring me that all I got to do is hold on It's all I got to do is hold on. And so if you had that some kind of experience like that during that soaking time, I think it's just neat to get a couple of those stories so that it encourages us, you know, and it lifts our brothers and sisters up. So does anybody want the microphone? I'll bring it to you. You got one?
Praise God. I was over there and I was thanking God for everything, you know, everything that he's done in my life and even the bad days that, you know, brought me to this place. And so the Lord was showing me how important, like, everyone wants growth. Everybody wants to grow. And God was telling me that there's no secret to growth. You know, he makes it so that we grow every day. You know, and he's saying how important it is for the rain in our lives, the trials and tribulation, because it makes us grow. But the key is that what grows or what takes root is what you believe. So if you believe in him, if you trust in him in everything, when it rains, that's what takes root. So if you waver, if you have disbelief or you don't have faith, and it rains, then that's what takes root. So he's saying that you need to have faith in me, believe me. And when it rains, you will automatically grow. He says it's so important that even if you look at the natural in the world, even when there's not rain in the forecast, he sends a morning dew so that you can get the nutrients that you need. So he's saying that every one of us grows with the rain, but it's what takes root in your heart. It's what that's in your heart that takes root. Trust God in all things, and that's what will take root for your spirit.
Thank you. Anybody else? I'll bring it back. Back there?
So I'm sitting back here and trying to soak, asking God, you know, to really help me feel his presence. And he says, relax, quit trying so hard. It's not about right or wrong when you spend time with me. It's just about relaxing with me and letting me do what needs to be done. I think a lot of us sometimes just try so hard to do things right that we get in our own way, and God's just saying, let me do it.
Anybody else?
Yeah. This is my first soaking experience. I came in here not knowing what to really expect, but all I can say is that I feel so full, I can just scream. I just really thank God for this moment. But as I was soaking, I just realized that for the past couple of months, I've just been consumed with fear, just afraid of everything. If you name it, I've been afraid of it. And I just told God, I said, I don't really know what to pray for, but I just say, please, God, take this fear out of my heart. Like, why am I so afraid to move? Why am I afraid to go left? I'm afraid to go right, afraid to go straight. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the results are going to be, if I do the right thing or if I do the wrong thing. And I just kept praying that out of me. I just said, please, God, take away the fear. Take away the fear. I don't know what else to do. Just take away this fear. And he said, if you trust me, why are you afraid? If you love me, why are you afraid? If you know I have your back, why are you afraid? If you know I'm going to take you through, why are you afraid? If you know I'm standing with you through the valley, why are you being afraid? That's not of me. So he told me to fear not, be of good cheer. I'm here. And I just kept repeating that scripture over and over again. Fear not, fear not. God is telling me to not be afraid. It's clear as day. Stop being afraid, Natalie. There's nothing for you to be afraid of. Go through this life. I've given you life more abundantly. I want you to go through life not being afraid of what's going to happen, what is the end result. And as soon as he gave me that revelation, even though he's told me this plenty of times, but for whatever reason this time, it just truly stuck in my spirit. And I guess my message for myself, is, which is what I really needed, is fear not, be of good cheer. I'm with you, Natalie. I got your back. There's no reason why you should be afraid of anything. I've been with you through everything. And he just had me go back in my memory of everything that I've been through my life, through high school, college, marriage, children. And I just said, oh my God, like, this is so stupid. Like, you've taken me through everything, every dark place in my life. And I'm sitting up here afraid. That's just no way to live, and that is not how he wants us to live. So I just thank God for that revelation, and I'm truly, truly grateful for this moment. So if I didn't come here tonight, I wouldn't have known that. I would have been going throughout this whole week afraid. And I just thank God that tomorrow morning I can wake up and not be afraid to live and just be under God all throughout the day and not have to worry about what might happen to me or a family member. Because he has my back, I'll be okay.
Awesome. That's awesome. Anybody else? Yeah.
God has been dealing with me since Tuesday. Mary, I had the same moment on Tuesday. I yelled at Lily fiercely. And moments later, she was down and her countenance was down. And I was like, what's wrong? And she said, and her eyes were trimmed in red. And she said, Mommy, I wish I could just get it right. And God is so merciful, because in that moment, he showed me us in the church and the people who are lost. They just want to get it right. Their eyes are rimmed in red, and they've tried everything that they know how to do and what everybody else has told them how to do, and they've cast their lots to see what works, and it's just not working, and they can't get it right. And I repented, because I realized there were moments where I didn't see that. But I was also gracious, because I have been asking God to give me eyes to see. Honestly, these are your people, God. Help me see them the way you see them, because I don't see that. I'm not liking them all the time. I'm tired. I'm impatient. They're not getting it. When it was me who didn't get it, because I wasn't prepared. And just in this soaking, he showed me that enjoy my finished work. For the people who know Christ, you've given your life to him and you just feel like you can't get it right, enjoy my finished work. Everything he did on the cross and died for, it was yours. It should have been yours, but he took it. For the first and the last thing you'll ever do. There's no greater love. There's no greater work. There's nothing greater. Enjoy his finished work. All the things that you've felt that you lost along the way, our God is omnipotent. He doesn't just stand at the end of time. He stands with you now. He stands with you along the way. And I see it's like we're running in fast motion, but he's just standing there at each phase. And he picks that thing up that you felt that you lost, or that was lost, and he gives it to you right in that moment. And he doesn't judge you. He doesn't hate you. He's not pointing his finger at you. He sees you with the blood of his son. He sees you with love. He sees you as a finished work. He sees you as the person that you don't even know. He sees you as that name that you receive when you see his face. Enjoy his finished work. Enjoy his finished work. Thank you, Jesus.
As I was laying there trying to take it all in, God spoke to me on many things, and some of the things have been what He has been speaking to me about recently. I go on a couple walks, and especially on the really nice weather that was like Monday and Tuesday, and I passed by around the time that all the kids were getting out of school. And when I say kids and when I say babies, I generally mean people my age, maybe a little older than younger, and I'm 20. So, and I see these kids and their vacant eyes, and my heart hurts, and I feel God's heart hurting because ironically those vacant eyes have so much pain behind them. And I'm just walking, I'm like, and there's so much pain, there's so much heartbreak, and I'm like, God, like, help these babies, like, be with these babies, because I know they're hurting, and as much as it looks like there's nothing there, that's, sometimes that's what pain looks like. And as I'm talking to God, I'm just, there's so much heartbreak, but there's so much hope. And I know, just like Pastor Caton is saying, these babies are going to rise up and they're going to help to revive the nation, and God's going to really use us. And as much as it hurts, like, I have so much hope and so much excitement. He was also talking to me about, I've been struggling with patience as well. And he's just so, he has so much patience with me and my impatience. And so many times we want to judge because we don't understand. And even in like what seems like the smallest stuff, like I like to try to involve God. Like I was really wanting to read a book one day, and I'm like, God, like let's pick out a book together. And it was I think Max Lucado. It was A Love Worth Giving. And it's been like dealing with patience and all this stuff that's just so relevant and so amazing. And I remember one thing it mentioned was that a lot of times understanding helps to aid patience, but we're not always going to understand. And I feel like we need to try to give people the upper hand and realize that people, we all have our problems. I mean, we're all special, but we're not really that much different than anyone else. We all have our struggles, and it comes out in different ways for different people. And sometimes things that feel like personal attacks are really just how people are getting out pain. And when people are struggling with like addictions and stuff, like, we're blessed, you know, we want to judge, but we have it so good. We know God, we have a relationship with Him. And that's one of the reasons that we were obviously able to overcome addictions, and why we may not struggle with things that other people do. And we need to have that mercy for other people. And trust me, I'm speaking to myself too, as God's dealing with me. Because I, when it comes to politics, like, I'm not the nicest person because I get so angry because I don't understand. And it all seems so easy to me and so simple. But, like, again, we're so blessed to have that relationship with God. They don't have that. And, you know, one thing when I was on my walk, God was really talking to me about was the anger. I turned the anger into compassion, and the judgments and the harsh words into unselfish prayers. And right then, I just wanted to walk the walk. I don't want to be like, oh, well, that was a nice thought, I'm just going to put that away for later. So I just started praying for Obama and a lot of our political leaders, and just, I want them to be so abundantly blessed that they pretty much get paranoid and feel the need to check out where it's coming from, and that's where they find God, you know? So there's so much hope for the future, and as much as my heart breaks, there's so much hope, and I'm really excited to see what God's going to do. And God's going to use all of you. And never stop praying for those who are unsaved, because sometimes prayer seems so small, but it's one of the biggest things, and it's such a great connection with God. So,
you're 20? It's funny because one other thing, right at the end of the closing of the soaking service, I felt like God said in Acts 17, where He was talking about those who had turned the world upside down. And I just felt like that was a word for everybody in here that was 20 and younger, that God was going to use you. And you guys were going to have the reputation to that you have turned the world upside down. How many of you are 20 or younger in here? Raise your hand really high so I can see you in the back. The coolest thing about this word, guys, is that He was talking about the religious world. They turned that world upside down. The Jews had said it. So they were saying that they had turned their world upside down. They're going to love like the church has never been able to love before. They're going to give like the church has never been able to give before. And they're going to turn our world upside down. So we just need to speak that over them tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this new generation. We release your love, your power, God, your goodness into them as they go out into this world, Father, and they love like no other generation has been able to love before. God, we bless them. We strengthen them, God. We hold them up. We are the mothers and fathers to this generation, God. And we will not despise them, but we will bless them. And we thank you, Jesus, for this new generation that's coming and that's running with the gospel to the hurting and the broken. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
I was reading earlier this week, and I was reminded of it as we were soaking, that the story of Peter when he was in the boat and Jesus came walking by, and all the disciples were in the boat, but Peter said something that was really interesting. He saw Jesus and he told Jesus, he said, "Command me to come to you. Command me to come to you, because if you'll just give me a divine commission, my heart will burn with." My heart will then burn with the assignment of the miraculous. It'll provoke the miraculous in me if you'll just command me. And so I just sense that in the room tonight, that God's releasing a divine commission. That God's just declaring, come to me. Come to me. And you know, a lot of us are like the other guys behind Peter, and it's kind of scary. Because we know what he's calling us to come to. We know what it's going to cost us when we step out of the boat or step out of where we are to go to him. And so tonight I just release that. A divine commission. Just the freedom to get out. But an awakening of the burning desire of the divine commission. An awakening of the burning desire of the divine commission in your life tonight. Just release that. And as you respond to it, it's going to provoke the miraculous. It's going to provoke the miraculous in your life. Lives will be changed. Stories will be told. Testimonies will ring through eternity as you respond to the divine commission of Jesus for your life. Amen. And so... Now, what are we going to do? Mary, do we want to set up some personal ministry? So we're going to set up some chairs. And so if we can get some help, we're just going to set up some chairs. And what we'll do is we'll make these chairs our hot seats. And what we can do is just then begin. If you feel like you need personal ministry tonight, you'll come to one of these chairs. And then those of us who are here, we'll wait upon the Lord. We'll wait upon and we'll hear the word of the Lord for your life. And then we'll come and just give you personal ministry. I think that's enough. I think that's good. Amen. So we'll go back into soaking. We'll turn the soaking music on. And as you feel led, just kind of come up. And then the ministry teams will come up and we'll provide personal ministry. Amen.
It was out in the country. Never been there before. Didn't know anybody. But the person that gave me the invitation, I knew her and her friend. So we gone there to this church, and as we enter into the door, it was so much love, this worship leader. And she greeted us with so much love. And then when it's time to go into the sanctuary, I looked up on the screen as I entered through the door. And it said, "This is the night of worship and prayer." So we went on into the church, and as we was sitting in the church and the music began, and here was the worship singer got up there and she began to sing, and the presence of God began to fill the temple, fill the church. And all of a sudden I was caught up in the spirit. And after I was caught up in the spirit, the Lord spoke to me and said, "For this cause I have sent you for this purpose. And I was standing up, and time went on past by. I was up the whole service in the spirit. And all of a sudden the Lord said, be still and know that I am God. A little while later, he showed himself to me. I seen his face. And it was like I'm in the spirit, but you know how the cloud, a beautiful day outside, and the cloud is that got this pretty blue and gray, big old fluffy white clouds. And he appeared in the clouds. I seen him in the clouds. His face, his clothes, he was standing there. You know, I believe that we are really living in the last days. The last part of the days. I believe Jesus is getting ready to come back. So anyway, after that, I was still in the spirit. And the Lord just had me kind to sit down in the seat. And I sat down. And my hands was just open, laying on my lap. And the man touched me that was sitting behind me. And he said, oh, we needed this at this church. We needed this at your, thanks for coming. And he just hugged me. And then there are the other people, they began to just start fellowshipping one another and coming around or whatever. And so after that, they say, let's go out and eat at a restaurant that night. When we went out to the restaurant that night, nobody knew what God had spoke in my spirit. But when we got there to the restaurant at night, here was this lady sitting across me, don't know her, but she was along with the crowd. And she said, be still and know that I am God. And when she said that, I looked up and my eyes buckled. I said, that's what the Lord spoke to me in the spirit. And then the other lady began to say, I want that. And she said, everybody can get it. I want that. I said, it's for everybody. All God's children. The other two said, don't call me. We'll call you. They want to know more. They want to see more. Then the pastor said this at the end. He said, didn't we have a good time in here tonight? The first Friday night in first Friday night, he said, we're going to come back again and we're going to have whatever this worship and praise is all over again. I'm just saying this. You know what? God loves every last one of us. Every one of us are special in the eyes of God. And all God wants us to do is seek his face. He said, ask. Seek his face, you shall find him. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And that's what God wants from each and every last one of you. He don't love one no more than he loves the other. But he just wants you to love him enough to desire to want to come into his presence. It's all about coming into his presence. Coming into his presence where you and him can connect together, that his will and his purpose can be done. God bless you.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. And as we conclude the evening, I think it would be fitting if we just begin to close in prophetic prayer together for the next 2 minutes. Let's just close in prophetic prayer and release some things into the atmosphere. We're speaking this morning, and I said this, that the imagination of the believer has prophetic power. And so just, you know, with that word, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that faith produces hope, and then hope produces something seen in another dimension. Let's just begin to speak prophetically what we've seen tonight from the other dimension, that we can manifest and have it now, heaven come to earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you tonight, Jesus. Thank you tonight, Jesus. Come on, right there where you're at, just release heaven. Into the atmosphere, just release heaven. Speak prophetically over Cleveland.
Speak prophetically over your family. Come on, release healing to the sick tonight. Let it go, church. Let healing go. They hunger for what you possess. Let it go from within you. Let it go. They are hungering for what we possess. We possess the hope of glory. We release it tonight. To the sick, we declare, be well. We declare to cancer, be done, be gone, you're finished, no cancer. This is a cancer-free zone. This region, Northeast Ohio, we proclaim it for the Lord's glory. For God's glory, we proclaim it tonight. We declare prophetically that cancer will not exist in this region and not in the not too distant future. We declare that our children shall serve the Lord. There will be a revival among the 20-somethings that is going to shake the nation. It's going to shake the nation. I see prophetically something, an incredible vessel falling from heaven into Lake Erie, and then Lake Erie exploding and all of the water washing up onto into this region and just washing the homes by the glory of God. And then just a tidal wave of revival among the 20-somethings. Release it into the atmosphere tonight. We release, Father, we release now the goodness of God into our homes, to our children. We release the goodness of God to our families. We declare that our marriages are full of love. They're full of grace. Our marriages, the marriages in the kingdom, represent and honor the Father with such a heart of integrity and character that is kingdom. It is kingdom. We love each other with the kingdom's kind of love. We just declared into the region tonight. We thank you tonight for what you've spoken. That fear's back is broken in our lives. That the miraculous power is available to us as we answer the divine commission of Christ for our life. Now we pray as we leave this place that we go under that commission. That divine commission that now provokes the miraculous wherever we go. So when we see the sick, we are provoked to manifest the miraculous power of Christ that brings healing, that by His stripes they are healed. Lord, let us go under the divine commission. Let us feel the sense of urgency and the burning desire to step out of where we are and to go towards you, because you have called us. You have commanded us to come to you. In Jesus' name, we receive it tonight. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you for coming out tonight. God bless you.